Alright. So I don't know if you guys know what a big deal tonight is. I am the backup to the backup to the backup for giving my testimony. So for me to be up here, there's a lot of things that went wrong for me to be talking to you tonight. So this is what you got. Sorry. One of the things I was really blessed with in giving hearing testimonies was really a start by Pastor Nick, where he went through and gave a lot of detail on his background, and that was good for me. And then when Sarah gave her testimony, we talked about her doing the same thing and giving the background. And so I'm going to do some of that with you as well tonight to share kind of who is Corey. I mean, we've talked a lot. All of us have talked a lot to each other. But, I mean, I may say things that my kids don't even know. I may say things that my wife doesn't even know, right? Because as much as we know each other, there's just some things in our lives we just don't talk about from our past. So if I bore you, I apologize. So just to give you guys an idea, I was born in Arizona. My parents were married on February 6, 1981. Okay. I was born November 21, 1981. So prior to that, my parents got together, they got married, I came out 9 months later. There wasn't any kind of thought of sexual promiscuity or anything like that in their lives. For a long time, I grew up wondering where my brother came from, because right, they got married, and he's 10 years older than me. So it took me a little while, probably 5 or 10, somewhere in there, that they helped me understand that he's my half-brother, and I got all that. So I knew at that point that my mother was married to a man before my father. But as far as I know, my father, first time wife and everything, so everything seemed kind of like the nuclear family in my mind. I grew up very much like an only child, having a brother that's 10 years older. I got to watch his mistakes from afar. Got beat up every once in a while, but for the most part, he wasn't around much. So we never moved. I grew up. My parents got married in the same house that I lived all of my 18 years, going into college and ultimately until I married my wife. We lived in the same place. I always remember hearing how the average person moves 7 times in their life. I ain't like, that's not going to be me because we don't move. It's just, that's not normal. Kind of like divorce is not normal, moving is not normal to me. Going anywhere is not normal. I had the same friends since kindergarten, growing all the way up. So my best friend was literally from kindergarten until I met my wife. My parents were very, very heavily involved in my upbringing, going and being part of my school events. My dad was my soccer coach. I played soccer from 5 to 18, and he, majority of that, he was my coach. We did family vacations together. It was my parents and me, right? So I'm very close to my parents in that way. And so we were growing up, I was growing up, and I thought it was kind of what I would call a Christian home, really, between what I know now and what I know then, very different. But at that point, we were going to church until about the age of 5. I absolutely hated church. We were going to a large Southern Baptist church, and it was probably about 8,000 people in a week, 6,000 to 8,000 people is a weekly congregation. And I hated every minute of it. My biggest thing that I remember that I liked was laying down and getting my head rubbed. Right? So it wasn't, I had no connection to what was being taught. I did know that when we stopped going to this church and we moved to another church, it was because my parents talked about how they talked about money too much. So, okay, I guess we don't talk about money. And then when we stopped going, I was about 5 years old, and I was convinced that I'm the one that convinced my parents to quit going, because I kicked and screamed every Sunday morning. I can easily tell that now. If I heard that story from someone, I can tell parents don't go because their kids don't like to get out of bed. It's because of their parents, but at that point, I thought that was my fault. But I was okay with it, because that meant I got to sleep in on Sundays. But for the fact that we went to church, I believed there was a God. I knew there was a... I didn't know, I just believed it. Right? I didn't have any evidences, I didn't have any reason to found that, other than we went to church and we were a Christian family, and yes, we believed in God. But that was the extent of it. I was relatively moral. I could probably, as I was growing up and all of my life, I would say I'm a good guy. I would say, yeah, I've got some problems and stuff, but I never smoked, I never drank, I never did any drugs. I didn't do any of those bad things that the stoners did out in the parking lot at high school. I didn't talk about it. There was sexual immorality in my life, but no one really knew about it, as far as I could tell. But I was incredibly self-centered. So my entire childhood, I could throw a tantrum. My parents didn't make me do any chores. They did not make me work. I got to do just about anything that I wanted. My parents now, because they're older, they didn't have me until they were about 30. So my father's now making money. They would make elaborate Lego sets for me, and I had what I wanted at that point. And if I had to share, it wasn't good for the other person. It was just a bad situation. To the point that I had a best friend, and this is high grade school, that to this day, he could say the worst week of his life is when his parents went on vacation and he had to stay with me. I mean, that's pretty bad if a grown man can say that. So going into high school, I was very self-conscious. I was not really the guy that was considered the nerd. I was not the popular kid either. I was kind of like right in the middle. I got along with just about everybody. I wanted to be everyone's friend. I wanted to be liked, but I didn't go above and beyond and go out of my way to do that. In junior high, I played volleyball with the school, but when I got into high school, they didn't have that, so I was the lucky guy. There was only six of us in our high school campus that got to be the high school girls volleyball manager. So I was around the girls volleyball teams all the time. Along with that, I was also playing soccer all the time. So between those two, lots around sports, but lots around girls. So probably about a sophomore year, I started going to a Southern Baptist church with my friend, mainly because my girlfriend at the time was going there. Then we left that church. I broke up with her, a breath. And I quit going there. We're no longer together. And then later on, my friend says, hey, come to this church. I left, and now I'm going to this other church. Okay, so I left the old Southern Baptist church, and I'm going to a bigger Southern Baptist church. And I'm a sophomore in high school, and my friend, St. Friend, so keep in mind, I said my best friend when I was little. This is my best friend all the way through. So whenever I reference my friend, that's still my guy. We're really close. And so he introduces me to something called Young Life. I really hated the idea. I didn't really want to get to know a lot of new people, but I was incredibly prideful. Maybe not outwardly, but on the inside, you challenged me. I was ready. I liked to fight. And so they had a milk drinking competition, and the goal was if you could drink a gallon of milk and you could win tickets and everything, right? It was the draw. I was ready. I prepped for it. I did all that. End up winning the competition, and that hooked me into Young Life. Okay, so now I'm part of this. 6 foot one, 160 pounds, couldn't have weight for the life of me, and I kept going to Young Life. I kept being a part of it. Why? Because it was cool. It was kind of my social club. I didn't care about the messages. All I cared about was really the fun activities and the opportunities to be social. I got into a buddy relationship with a lot of the leaders. So the leaders were in their 20s, 30s, and I was really excited that some older guys think me and my friend are really cool. And so we're hanging out all the time together. And in the church that I've been attending at this time, I had heard an altar call. Right? So doing Young Life all the time. And I'm also going to church on Sunday, so I'm a pretty good guy, right? Well, Southern Baptist Church, true to its name, I mean, altar calls every week, every other week, dozens of times. Did I commit my life to Christ? Did I recommit my life to Christ? Did I accept Jesus into my heart? Multiple times in the dozens. And really, why would I do that? Because I just got to make sure it's sure, right? Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I want to commit my life to him. I had a week. in my mind, I guess if I had to compare it, it was like Catholic confession, right? I screwed up this week, so now I got to accept Jesus on Sunday. And so I would at this point say I'm a Christian. Why? Because I accepted Jesus in my heart. I said the sinner's prayer. And I started something in Young Life called Campaigners. Campaigners was the group of Christian kids that were in Young Life. So, right, you got the bad kids that all the campaigners are really trying to outreach to get them to come into Young Life. And so that was me. So we would do Bible studies and things like that together. Couldn't tell you anything that we talked about. All I know, I thought I was right. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I was really trying to fudge my way through it, not realizing that I wasn't really a Christian. And so when I was a junior now, so I'm progressing in high school, I started dating a girl. She was a freshman. I'm the junior, so I was the cool guy, right? And so that relationship, nobody knew about it that I'm aware of, but between her and I, that was full of sexual immorality. And at the same time, she's a Christian, I'm a Christian. One day we're probably going to get married. But there was a lot of turmoil in there. And if I had to sum it up, that relationship would be summed up with sexual morality. So, still believe I'm a Christian. Now I'm getting older, I graduate high school, and the world of competitive soccer ends for me. And so does my metabolism. So I join a program in Honeywell where I become a machining apprentice. So now I could have done the scholarship thing. I could have done some of that, but I really wanted to start my career. So I started working in Honeywell as a machining apprentice. And I have decided at this point that I would really like to continue the lifestyle I had in high school with being with leaders. So next obvious step is become a leader. And so now I become a leader, and it was a really good decision. I don't know why they made the decision, but they made me a leader over the junior high group. So that's like the 13, 14-year-old kids, not the high school kids. I think it would have been really bad for me, even worse for me, if I was a high school leader over high school girls. So I was wildlife leader for 2 years, and by that time, 2 years come up, I became the senior leader. So They basically, this club, and I don't know if you guys understand what a club is, but clubs are based off of schools, so that school is considered your outreach area, and the mantra of Young Life would be that it's a parachurch ministry that is halfway between the church and halfway between the school, and they try to get the kids from the school into the church, into a local church. But they needed a senior leader, and no one stepped up, so I'll step up. Yeah, I don't want this club to end. I want to keep it going. And still thinking I'm a Christian, giving messages. Sorry. So I'm giving messages about Jesus to junior high kids. And I couldn't even tell you where in the Bible to look for these things. Right? What to even describe what sin is. Right, I looked at what are a lot of the cool things that I watch other leaders do, and that's going to be my message for the week on how I teach these kids about who they are in the sight of God. And so I met, not too long after I became a senior leader, within that year, I met a girl. I'm not going to tell you who her name is. I'm going to keep that a secret. And we were convinced we were going to get married. So that was misleading a little bit. But I was convinced we were going to get married, but that ended up not working out. Okay, if you thought that was Sarah, that wasn't her. But my heart was really broken. I was so excited to be out of the life of sin, of sexual morality, that marriage was obviously the obvious choice to fix that. It didn't work out. I was really broken. And I remember one night driving for hours in my truck and praying to God and saying, God, please help me to, I don't even know what I said. All I remember out of all that was I made a pact with God at that point that I wasn't going to date anybody else until he gives me the right person. Well, within a couple of months, I met Sarah, and about a week a week before I met her, my best friend had said, you know what, Corey, I gotta tell you, I've met the girl of your dreams tonight. And made it awkward because my other friend was right there. He says he's got dibs. We all know that, you know that. And so I wanted to play cool because I just broken up with this girl, and so that I thought I wanted to marry. And so we started dating. It didn't take long in this dating relationship for, I know Sarah says it's courting, right? Because that was the cool Christian term. But it wasn't long after that that relationship turned into sexual immorality as well. I try to pride myself on purity. Like, well, we can't kiss yet. We can't kiss. But that was the least of it, right? There's so much other stuff that happened, but I could hang my hat on, well, we're not going to kiss because I don't know if you're the one, but almost anything else is fair game. I think anyone, even the children in here, could, if they understood everything I was saying, see what an idiot I was. And so, again, I'm really prideful, and I really like to fight. And my fights weren't fist fights, my fights were psychological. I really like to get into people's grill and really make them mad. And that was me. Soccer, same thing. I wouldn't physically harm people, I would just make them really angry, right? Is that mental game I like to play with people. So when I learned that her parents didn't like me, the fight was on. And so that made me want and desire Sarah even more. That they're not gonna keep us apart, they're not gonna separate that. I'm going to do everything I have to win this. And even at that point, I couldn't even say that that's what I wanted to do. But we knew we were going to get married, and I wanted to start. So we knew we were going to get married. So then we started we're both Christians, Sarah and I are Christians. We're no longer in Young Life at this point. And we start our own pre-married ministry. So we go to our mega church. I'm now at a mega church that 12,000 on a weekend. And we are leading other couples that are wanting to get married or in the marriage process. We are leading them and teaching them, and we're all trying to do it as a pact so that we can be pure together. When we got married, the next logical step is to start a newlywed ministry. Right? So now we're doing the same thing, but now with people that are married. We want, and in our minds, we said, well, kind of want a big family. Of course, sounds like a really ambitious number. But we want to wait till we have kids, so we agreed that we would be 5 years. Well, 4 months later, we were pregnant with you, and I saw my wife scared to death on the table, I wasn't upset about having a kid. I was scared. And so we're pregnant, and so now we're building a house in Surprise. This is around 2007-ish, and I don't know if you guys know, but there was a really big housing rush. People moving from California, moving into Arizona, and you could get houses for a tenth of what you could in California, about four times bigger. And so we had people flooding into Arizona. And our rush was, well, we better get a house now. And I listened to my father saying, get the biggest house you can afford. Well, that was his advice in a different time, in a different place and all that. Well, so we got the biggest house, almost the biggest house in the neighborhood. Had all the bells and whistles. We got our chair cabinets. We had all the extra lighting. My big thing was elongated toilets. You can understand. And I even, to the point, I had to make sure I had the outlets up in the eave with the little light switch on so I could turn on my Christmas lights. I mean, we had it all in this house. And at this time, so now we're living in Surprise, Arizona. When we had this house built, we moved in only a few weeks after Eden was born. And we are going to now, instead of that big mega church, we're going to this daughter church. So it's like an offshoot, if you will, into a smaller church, and smaller, 400 people on the weekend. Quickly got in good with the pastors at that time, and really, really, I mean, we were doing the ministries there, leading the small groups in our home. We were part of the ministry for watching kids in nursery. We were really well engaged into this church. And I started talking to this pastor. Actually, let me step back a little bit. And I think out of this room, Tony might appreciate this the most, but where I'm standing in a Ross with my wife, and now we have Caleb at this point. Caleb's a baby. We're standing in a Ross, and I hear someone saying, "Stop it! Stop it!" And a couple guys running out for shoplifting. And what do? Well, got my baby in my hand. I'm going to stop these two thugs that are shoplifting. So, again, kids could probably say, "You're an idiot." But in my mind, I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to trip these guys as they go out. Sarah's freaking out because I've got my baby in my hand when I'm trying to stop people that are trying to break the law. And so the adrenaline rush was there. I was excited. And I was telling my wife, she's still freaking out on the way home, and I'm on like a different high at this point. And so the next day I'm going to work, and I'm on my way home from work, and I literally counted 50 police cars on the way home. It's a sign. God has spoken. I need to join the police department. And so that's what I try to do. So I tried out for the surprise PD. Didn't pass. I mean, within only a couple weeks notice, I tried to do the physical, and I was not in very good shape. It didn't work out. And then I went for the Phoenix PD. Failed physical test first time, passed it second time. Took the written test once, failed. Took the written test twice, got it. Go through interview. Well, they look at some of my immorality growing up, and they said, not going to happen. They weren't that forthcoming, but that really got me excited about, and I guess I'll use the terms that I used to use in some of the small group. I want to be like Paul, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a jerk for the right reasons. So, oh yeah, I got to be a jerk. I use that as my, right, he's not, right? We can all agree that the Apostle Paul was not a jerk, but that was my thing. So I really like to get in the guys' faces. So what's the next obvious move for me? I'm starting to get really obsessed with the military, because that, I would say, my wife ever died, my kids ever died, I'm going to go join the Marines, because that's the most hardcore. And sorry anybody else that was in anything else. That was my thought. And so I started talking to my pastor at this church, and I said, you know what, I want to start a ministry. And in this ministry, it's going to take Matthew 25. We're going to talk about the separation of sheep and goats. I'm going to start this ministry, take men out into these weird environments and teach them to do the right thing. Okay? So that's what I'm going to do. And he highly encouraged it. He said, the future of the church is mobile. This makes a lot of sense. And then after all that, then I went home. I'm thinking, how am I going to make Jesus part of this thing? But that this is leading up to why we're here. And so the primary reason we moved out to the Midwest is, one, we have foreclosed on our house at this point. They took it from us because we got too big of a house we couldn't afford, and the mortgage was dumb. And I wanted to move to the Midwest, to where you have change of seasons and you could draw men from all over the country to do these missions that we were going to go on. And when I say missions, it's not the term you think. It's a term like operations, right? And so I get a job transfer from Honeywell, Arizona, to Honeywell, Rock Island. We start looking for a local church. So that's how we end up here. Start looking for a local church. We join one of the churches called Crosspoint. When I was interviewing for the job here, the pastor and his wife got together with us, and we started talking. We connected really well. He was cool. I thought it was cool, so it obviously works. The reason that we found that church is because my biggest sole purpose or sole thing that I was looking for in a church is it can't have flowers on the website. It has to be a man's church. And so that's how we got to this church. By the way, we don't have flowers on our website, just so you guys know. I check. But so now they help us move. We move out here. I get the job. They help us move. We move into what was Tyler and Dara's old house, and we started going to Crosspoint. And again, I'm still a jerk. I like to be a jerk for the right reason, air quotes, right? And my brother and I have a really estranged relationship right now. I would say that that's the majority of me, because I really like to get him excited and upset, him and his wife. And so he starts sending me different sermons from different people, or trying to get me hooked up with different, or listening to different things. They're in a church that would be considered kind of similar to ours, lots of large families, homeschooled families, Reformed theology. I think it's 1689 Confessional Church. So it looks a lot like what ours might look like today. I've never visited, but I couldn't tell you. I can tell you for sure. But one of the people he sent me to listen to was Bodhi Bachman. And I could not get enough of this guy. So he was bold. I won't say a jerk for the right reasons. He was bold and in my face. And I really liked that. And I think it was probably Centrality of the Home is the one I was listening to. So we are now deciding that we're going to homeschool our kids. And we go to a homeschool conference. This homeschool conference that we picked was Bodhi Bachman was talking. So we're excited to go meet him. He gives his talk about whatever it was that he talked about for school. And we get a chance to talk with the speakers afterwards. Well, I go up and Sarah and I go up and talk because her and I are fighting about this church that we're a part of right now, called Cross Point. And we go up and talk to him. And I said, hey, you know, my name's Corey, my wife Sarah, and we really like you, listen to you online. Here's my idea of a church, what do you think? And my idea of a church was you gotta bring as many people as you can in. And he very kindly and authoritatively told me I was wrong. And the role of the church was actually to equip the church, then they can go out. Something along those lines. That's not exactly what meant. But so we walk out of that session hall in the hallway, and we just sit and talk, and we say, and I told Sarah, I'm ready to go find another church. I'm ready to look for something different. And the search has gone on at this point. We were looking, I'd say it's probably a month or so that we started doing this. We were looking for churches all over. I mean, we were driving up to 2 hours away to find a church. Granted, remember, we live right over here on 19th Street. Right, off of Division, and we're driving hours to go somewhere. We end up going to Sycamore a couple times. Couldn't tell you what it was about. Just didn't sit well. Just very kind of boring. I don't know. I couldn't tell you about that one. We went to a Presbyterian church a couple hours away. That was too ritualistic, and so through some really amazing circumstances, one of our friends in Cross Point knew that we were looking. I also told, I remember telling our pastor at the time that I want to go somewhere where we're in agreement that we can go look for something different, but I don't want to go somewhere where everyone's in a holy huddle. Everyone's really tight, and they don't let the outside people in. Well, anyways, they notify, or one of our friends there tells us about this other church called Legacy that we're trying to find. And so Sarah calls up this church called Legacy and ends up being the wrong number and ends up getting a hold of someone in the church office. I think it was Dara or Greta? Greta? So it gets a hold of Greta. They talk. And now at this point, I'm in Arizona. I'm on a business trip. And so my wife calls me and tells me, hey, this church sounds kind of good, right? Gets me hooked up with the pastor's phone number. And I said, okay, I'll talk. And I think we set up some time to talk. Well, that night, before I talked the next day, I watch on the news about this church that, you know, they play the scene where you've got all the different people, and it's like the normal church, but there's something different. And all of a sudden, they all start casting out demons out of each other. And then the congregation is casting out demons out of the pastor. And it's a mess. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's weird. So next morning, now I get to talk to this guy. And one of my biggest questions is, what would people say is different about your church? Because I'm thinking, maybe this is a sign of God. I don't know what's going on. He's like, I don't know, we practice communion differently? It was just some kind of weird response that I'm like, well, that doesn't sound too bad. But okay, so I agreed that Sarah could go see go be a part of a Wednesday night. I think it was something, I forgot, some movie you guys were watching on a Wednesday night. And I show up for Bible study the next week, or that Saturday. It's definitely different. I liked it. What was being talked about, at this point I still couldn't tell you, but all I knew is it was different kind of Bible study. We started attending the church regularly, at which Pastor Mike, he came over. They came over one night for dinner, and then we didn't do a lot of chit-chat. I mean, we did a little bit of that, but one of the biggest things that stuck out in my mind was he asked me my testimony. Okay, I'm going to have to figure this out. What is my testimony? Right? So I have to kind of talk and think about how I became a Christian. Well, all along, now we're still coming to the church, and it was Matthew. We were preaching to Matthew at the time, and I wasn't a member, and Sarah's not a member, but we're attending. And I remember thinking, you know what? I'm listening to Centrality of the Home. I'm listening to what we're talking about at church. I'm going to be a good dad. And I'm going to read my kids to the Bible. I'm going to teach my kids the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible with them. Sorry. And I remember reading in Matthew. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is on. So he's on his face before, or he is in reverence praying to God the Father. And I was reading that to my kids, and I was broken. Because I realized I have never reverenced God the way Jesus has reverenced his Father. And Christ is perfect. And I'm not. And so at the time, I was getting emails from this crazy guy, or text messages from this crazy guy, Brother Donnie, and sending me messages, or sending me texts and scriptures, and he was doing that to a group of people, so I wasn't singled out. But he sent something from Psalm 119, and I went upstairs. I tried to get through that last section of scripture that we were reading. And I went upstairs, and I got on my face, and I shut the door behind me, and as prostrate as you could get, I was doing that, and praying through Psalm 119. I had no idea how long Psalm 119 was, but I got through it, and I bawled the entire time. I don't know where I'm at, I know it's in my mouth. But so things seemed different at that point. And at the time, I couldn't tell you why. But the best thing I could tell you, and the best way I could describe it, well, first of all, I thought at the time I was just becoming more Christian. But at the time, but now, the best way I describe it was I've been living my life with dirty sunglasses on. And I took them off. They were taken off. And I could see things that I had never seen before. And I understood things that I had never understood before. The things that seemed so complicated became so clear and so simple. And it took, I mean, man, I was still, and am still today, incredibly prideful apart from Christ. And it took a really long time for me. And with conversations with pastor and men's Bible studies talking about when does relationship with sin actually change and when did it change in my life, and me trying to examine that, and it took me a really long time, but I had to come to the conclusion that night, that evening when I was upstairs praying to God, pleading with him to forgive me for not reverencing him and honoring him the way he deserved. But that's when he changed my heart. And so It's a little harder, longer. I've been saved, so that was probably 2011. It's a little harder. It gets a little harder and harder to see things that were different now compared to, like, then and to now, just because I kind of forget about those ways. I don't really think about what that was like much, but I can tell you everything. I can't think of one area of my life that hasn't been changed because of what God has done. So I decided to list some down because I think it's important. And so I now know how to love my children. I now love my children. I now love my wife. I didn't love her before. There was a point in our marriage where divorce actually became part, kind of a thought process. Even though we said we would never get divorced and that was never a word, and we never really talked about it, but we were at odds with each other a lot. I now want to work diligently. I couldn't understand it then why all of a sudden I started getting promotions at work and things were looking different. And it's not because... It's only because my work ethic changed. Because prior to that, I was on the brink of getting fired from other jobs. And now I just desire to work unto the Lord. Children, I wanted to have, not my children, they're probably trying to think. I wanted to have a big family of four children. Because that was me. And we were going to knock out all the other families with the four children. I don't need to say more about that. And, I now have compassion for others. Before, I would get really angry, and I would want, my goal was to make other people furious, and then act like the good guy, like, why are you so mad? I don't desire that anymore. I understand pride. I when I see it in my children, it disgusts me, because I know that's who I am, apart from Christ. That's the sins of the Father were passed down in that. I don't desire to pick fights with people. I was intentional on Sunday in prayer to say that when we come to one another and we want to talk to each other about our relationship with the Lord and their sin in our lives, that our desire wouldn't be to pick the fight. Our desire would be to love our sister and love our brother and to actually be concerned for them and to love the Lord and be concerned about the relationship with the Lord, not because you just like the fight or you want to be right or you want to point that out. I'm praying that for me, right? Because that's important. I can actually love you all, whereas before I would have used every one of you. I actually desire God's word. I get excited about family worship. Before, that would have been a bore, and there's so many better things to do. I desire my children to know the Lord instead of just looking a certain way to make me look good. By God's grace, nowhere, anywhere close to perfect. I desire to honor the Lord in every area of my life. And we was talking to one of my brothers tonight about how excited I am about where in 10 or 15 years to be able to look back and say, wow, you've come so far. And because I can look back years ago and look and say, you've come so far. And that is not me. That is the work of the scriptures and my life and the shepherding and the work of the Holy Spirit changing our heart and changing minds to be renewed where it was conformed to the patterns of this world.